I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Daniel Golden is with us. He has a wonderful list of book recommendations for you for this spring. The sun is out, the rivers don't have ice in them, the lake is open, and you want to read a great book. And he has a whole list of recommendations for us, and I just think it's one of his better lists. It's really terrific, and he always has good lists. He also wants to talk about Independent Bookstore Day, which is coming up this weekend, and he has given us a list of bookstores that will have their doors open for you. Daniel is the owner, of course, of Boswell Book Company on Downer Avenue here in Milwaukee, and they just do so many wonderful things for this community. He's got authors coming and going in all these events all over the city, and he's a real treasure, and we're just happy as can be to have him with us again this hour. We'll be welcoming phone calls for him. He's going to give us recommendations, new fiction, the winners, thrills, paperback fiction, nonfiction, memoir, history, and baseball, dogs plus philosophy, my favorite category, pop culture plus philosophy, and also a few books for children. And you can add to the list, or if you have questions about any of these books, Daniel will be happy to answer your calls. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter as well, and that's at K Dunn Show. Daniel, happy spring. Lovely to see you, sir.
Oh, it's lovely to see you as well.
You always do good lists, but I gotta tell you, this one beats many of them. I want to read so many of these books.
Oh, well, I thought, well, thank you, but then I thought, well, I didn't really write any of these, so I guess it's sort of an odd list. Thank you for being such a good list compiler, which I'll take that.
Well, you should. I was interested in how many writers who have done a lot of work, Jane Hamilton, Ann Tyler, and others are in new fiction, that several of them have come out with new books right now. They've been writing for a long time.
They have, and you know, this is one of the two main periods when books come out. We have
We have
the holiday season, you know, October, you're positioning for Christmas, but interestingly enough, the spring season is a very major fiction season. You actually see a little more fiction like this time of year than you do September, October, no, especially later, like November. You almost see no fiction at all because they don't feel like there's enough time to position it. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One, before the logistics revolution, publishers used to just throw the books out and it would take weeks to get in the store. So they couldn't say, this book is coming in on Tuesday, April 26th, and will go on sale all around the country. Instead, what they would do is say, April.
Is that what they would do?
Yeah. And the two periods that publish books were spring and fall.
Ah.
And especially for children's books, often a publisher might only have a couple of release dates each season. They would just send them all out. They'd give you a pub date. They'd make up April 7th or April 23rd, but it was just arbitrary. It was a day in their head when they thought the books would be everywhere. So there's still some relative legacy of that. It's also Mother's Day. So a lot of high-profile women writers come out in April because of Mother's Day. There's also you're sort of preparing for summer reading. There's also the Father's Day and graduation. And there's also the perception that you – and we don't know why, because we don't see the difference in sales. But the publishing – and maybe this is also a legacy from what I said before. You do a high-profile author in the spring or the fall. You do a breakout author – unless you're throwing everything behind it, you do that in winter or summer. I had an author, a first-time author who I knew, who was being published by a major publishing house, and they said, we have two options for you for Pub Month, January or July. That's what they would not do him in the middle of spring or in the middle of fall.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah. Well, let's start actually with a book that you put under the winners, and I have not read this, but you have recommended this, and I've heard this. It's just an incredible book because it's about the Vietnam War from the eyes Viet Thanh Nguyen, from the eyes of a Vietnamese, and I don't know if you've read it. I have to read it, and I haven't read it
yet. Well, now that you know, it's one of those things that It had wonderful early recommendations from booksellers. In our store, our big reader was Conrad, who had it on has had it on his rec shelf since the day it came out. Mm. Many, many booksellers very excited about the book. Wonderful reviews, and then it just won the Pulitzer Prize. So it will be it's a good thing I didn't read it, because now I can schedule it for I think it's probably going to be our July in-store book club book, because it's a book.
Oh,
that,
is it? Great.
Yeah, because it feels like it's a book that I know I should have read all along, and now with the award, you know, it is a Vietnam War through the eyes of the Vietnamese. He's definitely, I did meet the author at a dinner early on.
Oh.
So you'd think that I'd read it for that, but I just, you know.
You've got a lot on your plate.
Life gets in the way.
So you're having a book club about it in July.
Just a book club talk. Yeah, not the author. The author's not on tour anymore.
So how do you get in the book club?
Oh, it's free and open to the public.
It is? So you just come.
Sure.
We have
a mystery one, a science fiction one, and a fiction. It's not fiction. It's lit, because I actually go back and forth and have actually did two nonfiction books this year, so you'd be excited to know. We did Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson, the book from the gentleman in Alabama who defends folks on death row, or as he calls it, death in prison. And then we did Voices from Chernobyl, which because it won the Nobel Prize. But we do, and then for our last book, we did A Man Called Ova, because from Frederick Bachman. So it's not all heavy, you know, over the top. You know, actually, I sort of depressed everybody by the end of those 2 months in a row. But, you know, but a wonderful transformational novel. And we try to tie into authors coming to town sometimes. So Frederick Bachman is in Milwaukee for his third novel. Britt Marie was here on May 14th in the afternoon. And so that's sort of I do it to kind of build encouragement. And because I know I should read all these books before I make the decision, but my list of books is so long that this is a way of saying to myself, giving myself a second chance. Mm-hmm. I have been ridiculed by booksellers in other stores because they're like, you read too many books that came out, and your job as a bookseller is to always read ahead, always read ahead, always read ahead. But I find that if I catch up sometimes, we can take a book that's selling okay, and I can discover it and go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it gets you really into it.
Right.
So we're reading that, and then I guess for so I'm excited about in June we have another author, a first novelist. He wrote a book called The Yid, and it's about an attempt to assassinate Stalin. And it's actually based on his family stories.
Ooh, interesting.
So he's going to be in conversation with Joel Berkowitz of the Center for Jewish Studies. It's June 6th at Boswell. So what we're doing, the event starts at 7. At 6, we're going to talk about the book. Okay. And then at 6:30, he's going to come in and we're going to say you can ask spoiler questions. We don't like to have the author come for the whole time because – and this is – suggestion to all book clubs, like if you Skype, because tons of authors will Skype with you nowadays or call in on phone. And I just think give yourself some time without the author so people can complain about it so that you can be polite, because there is nothing worse than complaining about the book in front of the author.
I know that'd be awful, Daniel.
They do it. Absolutely.
Aww.
So, but not mine, because we are. Because even though I said it's not a book club, people go in and out. I mean, there are regulars, and it gets a tone. But nobody would ever do that in our book club, because I would give them the evil eye.
Good for
and
you.
That is terrible. Politeness rules.
Yes. Yes.
So in any case, yeah. So we're going to read The Sympathizer in July. And it is really interesting how you can get, you know, like just – this is a good example of a book that we sold okay in hardcover, but it just exploded in paperback, partly because I took it up and that led another bookseller to pick it up and got other book clubs to read it. It's a book called The Turner House by Angela Flournoy.
Okay.
We're reading it next Monday, which is – what is that? It's always the first Monday in the month, so that must
May.
Be May 2nd, right?
May, yeah.
And it's about a large family in Detroit, in East Detroit, African American, 13 kids, and they have gone in all different directions with their life. They're now all middle-aged, and their mom has had a minor stroke and is living with one of the kids, and they have to get rid of the house.
Hmm.
But the house is underwater. It's in a seriously declining neighborhood, and the families all fighting. And so it's through the different voices. One of the kids is homeless. One's a police officer. One's a truck driver who's disabled. And they have very strong personalities. And one of the things that's been – so there's two really interesting things about it. No, there's 1,000. The book's really great. The Journal Sentinel critic, Mike Fisher, reviewed it in hardcover. And he basically wrote to me and said, I know I wrote this review of it, but this is your book and you have to read it. And it went on to – be shortlisted for the National Book Award as a finalist. So on one hand, I had a book – one of my book club regulars said to me, it's like, this is a different world. You know, it's a middle-class African-American experience. I don't have – you know, I don't have close friends, and it's just opened my eyes to all these different – you know, it's just a really interesting place and very interesting people and – the writing's beautiful, et cetera, et cetera. And then my the Jane, who does a lot of book club stuff with me, said, this is the dynamics of any large family. Hmm. I have many siblings, and I can match them all up, or match many of them up, with my own siblings. And she told me which one she was. She was very excited about that. So it's just a great book.
The Turner House.
Yeah, Turner House by Angela Flournoy.
Excellent. So. All right, well, let's go into dogs, if you don't mind.
And
you
showed
me, he's so darling. Dog Medicine, How My Dog Saved Me From Myself. And another book that you recommend, Free Days with George, Learning Life's Little Lessons from One Very Big Dog. I love the title.
You know that we do a lot of dog events. I mean, we do.
Yeah, probably, dogs are big right now, aren't they?
They are.
A lot of dog books.
Sometimes they tour with the dog, and sometimes they don't tour with the dog.
They should always tour with the dog. Yeah.
What I've noticed is that the more serious books tour without the dog and the goofier books tour with the dog.
Oh.
And we've had folks traveling cross country in a camper with their dog doing events. I think that was Maddie on Things we had. In this case, we're not – you know, you never find out till the very minute. Our event is with – the Dog Medicine book, which is Julie Barton.
She's not
coming till July.
Okay.
But it's definitely about a rescue dog and how the narrator was saved from help with depression. But it's definitely about the human-animal bond.
Mm-hmm.
This book was actually, I believe, self-published, and she was able to get each book has an interesting origin story. So she was self-published, and now it's being published by one of the imprints at Penguin. And then the other book, Free Days with George, was actually published by Penguin Random House Canada, and they are now going to distribute the book in the United States. And that's coming up pretty soon. I believe that author is going to be at Books and Company in Oconomowoc on Thursday, May 12th.
Okay.
And I think the dog's coming, but I'm not positive because I was furiously texting the owner of Books and Company, Lisa, like, is the dog coming? What time is it? I get in a little panic before I go on your show. And so, but people, you'll have it online. And I bet if the timing works out, especially if the dog's coming,
yes,
you might want to interview the dog.
You're absolutely right. And if you need a dog to be there, if it's not the right dog, I can round up a dog for you in a minute, honey. So we'll just get you a dog there. If you need one. Well, I love those dog books. Nonfiction. I know that I gave this to my husband to read. On your recommendation, he hasn't read it yet because he's doing book review on something else. The Romanovs. You raved about this book. You said it was great, and I think he's coming to town. Why do you like it so much?
Well, I have told you when I go on the show that my history reading is through my buyer, Jason. So I really use him for everything. He was a history major. Mm. He reads much faster than me. And you know, history books tend to be fat. They tend to move a little slower.
Right.
I mean, because you're completely immersed in the world and there's all this research and things like that. And so basically – and I'm every so often I read a history book. But mostly I go through Jason. And I never lie. I never tell people I've read a book that I haven't. So – but Jason is my guy because he reads – I don't know. He'll say to me, here are my top 15 history books for the year. He reads many at once, and he's a huge Simon Sebag Montefiore author, a reader, and as are many other people. So he has been shortlisted for the Samuel Johnson Prize. He won the Los Angeles Times Book Award.
Wow.
He won the British Book Award.
Wow.
The Jerusalem biography was a huge bestseller. He's written Stalin and Young Stalin. So he's very knowledgeable knowledgeable. He's written a book about Catherine the Great. His older book, Catherine the Great and Potemkin, is being reissued just before the event because Angelo Jolie is going to do a Catherine the Great film. And so they're very excited about it. I was writing to the publisher, like, you need to have Catherine the Great and Potemkin. And it's like, ooh, okay. So anyway, Jason's been reading this. He's been really excited. I know you like history. I think your husband particularly likes Russian history,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And it's so rare for us to get really serious world-class nonfiction writers. It's hard because the honorariums are too good. And bookstores don't do honorariums. So they speak at large groups. They go to campuses, sure, universities, and things like that. Yeah. So we get, I mean, every so often, especially if you ticket with book or something like that, we get some good people. And we get wonderful people. They're just not as well known as Simon Sinek, Montefiore. And so when we get somebody like this, and it completely fell in our lap. I believe the publicist was chatting with somebody who I know from something else, and they're like, she's like, I have a free day. I don't know what to do. And it's like, why don't you go to Milwaukee? And so, so thank you for thinking of us. So we're doing it with Center for Jewish Studies. We're doing it with the Russian department, Russian Eastern Studies department at UWM.
Great.
I believe someone there is going to introduce him. And it is during the big book convention in Chicago. And so the saddest thing in the world is I may not come because one of my very close friends is retiring. So I may be going to the retirement party. So but Jason's going to stay home from the convention so he can
be there.
He can go
because
it's more.
Oh, great. And my husband is a huge Daniel. He's read every book imaginable on Stalingrad. And we'll be on vacation in this really remote part of the world. And there he is reading about Stalingrad. And we'll be going out for dinner and he wants to talk about Stalingrad again. It's all the time. And I just say, oh, how interesting, and my mind is looking at the ocean or something, because I just don't know how we can read one more book about it. But there are subjects like that I'm that way about Lincoln.
Right.
Endlessly fascinating. Give me a book. That's fine. I'll read it all.
It's always interesting because people who aren't interested in the subject think, well, you've read a book. Isn't that enough?
Right. Right.
You know, and of course, people who are interested in reading will say to you, you've read a book.
Exactly.
Why do you need to read another book?
Exactly.
Of anything.
Yeah. But if you're really into a subject, it's wonderful to read a lot of books.
You want to be an expert.
Absolutely. So my nonfiction for you for a recommendation,
oh, yes,
because he's in Madison, and I've talked about this book to other people who said they like this idea. It reminds me of, it reminds me of another author, the way that it's put together. The Fever of 1721. He was on our show a couple weeks ago. The Epidemic that Revolutionized Medicine and American Politics. Stephen Koss, who's from Madison, who was in advertising, and saw something on a calendar, one of those thought for the day or history of the day. And on this day, the biggest smallpox epidemic in Boston took place in 1721. And he said, oh, that's interesting. Well, it led to this book 10 years later. But it's the combination of all these forces at work. So you've got Cotton Mather of Salem Witch Trials. You've got Benjamin Franklin, who he and his brother are just starting the first independent newspaper, and they're capitalizing on the smallpox epidemic. You've got the first inoculation in this country done by a doctor who was vilified by the community. They thought it was horrible. He learned about inoculation from a slave who had been inoculated in Africa where it was widespread, but people here thought it was sinful. It was a horrible thing to do. So you've got all these cast of characters together and a huge epidemic. And the doctor also did the first double mastectomy in 1719 in Boston. So it's all these fascinating people and he'd be fun to have at the bookstore to talk about.
I wrote everything down.
And good. Got it.
Like I said, sometimes we've had some really great books out of this, and sometimes people are very busy in there.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
That's what it is.
All right, so we're going to take more. Let's go to children's books next, but we need to pause for just a moment. Daniel Golden is our guest this hour. We're delighted to have him here. It's also Independent Bookstore Weekend, and he wants to talk about that, which we'll let him do, of course. He can talk about whatever the heck he wants. Daniel Golden is our guest. He is the owner of Boswell Books, a wonderful store, independent store on Downer Avenue, right here in Milwaukee. And he has our spring reading list, which we will put on our website. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We are on Twitter as well. That's @KDunnShow. So give us a call. Let us know what you're reading or if you need a suggestion, he's got a great list this springtime. So we'll talk to you. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Daniel Golden is our guest this hour, and we're welcoming phone calls for him. Our number is 800-486-8655. A few books you have for children, and you have some picture books you wanted to recommend.
Yes, I had two kind of young adult, middle grade kind of books. So they look like novels to folks. One was, I was very excited. There are a number of authors coming to town in that area. And one of them is Maggie Stiefvater. She wrote a cycle called Raven Boys, and this is the last book, Raven King. And she's going to be at Books and Company on Wednesday, May 11th. And she's the kind of author, we had her at the Franklin Library a few years ago, and people will come from 50 miles to go see her.
So, my.
Yeah. And then on May 18th at the Weinberg Library, we have Jennifer Armentrout, who's another person, very popular young adult writer, writes contemporaries, and we're hosting her with a local author, Lisa Weimer, who has written it's not her first novel. It's her first published young adult novel called Hello, and I think she's trying to do I wanted to say 500 school visits this year, but I don't know if that's possible. But it's at least 100. And so she's been getting these amazing responses. And so that's May 18th. And then on May 13th, we have this author, Rochelle Mead, The Glittering Court. And she's at – so they're all over the place. And this one is at the Oak Creek Library. And that's been very popular. They're all – on the more commercial side, you know, very, you know, exciting and romance and, you know, kids get really into them and love to read, and that's really cool. There's a book called Summer Lost that I really loved. It was a book that I picked up because we were doing an event, but that event's long gone, so I'm not promoting anything anymore except how great the book is. It was so strange to me because she had this series called Matched, which was a post-apocalyptic with a romance angle, and I thought, I don't want to read that book. But our buyer, Amy, said it's actually very well written, and Pam, one of my other booksellers, really liked it. So then this book comes out. She wrote another standalone, and then this was a middle grade, which means a little younger, and it's completely different. It's very realistic about a young girl whose father and older brother died in a car accident, and the mother decides to move our narrator, Cedar, who's a girl, and her younger brother to a very small town in Utah where there's a Shakespeare festival where her mom grew up. And they're all coping with the death of the older brother. He was special needs. He was probably, she doesn't say it, but he's probably autistic. So he was kind of the person, like, you know, she loved him, but she didn't really always feel like she knew him. Mm-hmm. And she would sometimes get frustrated with him. And she's, you know, she and her brother become obsessed with watching a soap opera secretly from their mom about a woman who's buried alive, which actually happened. So, you know, if you know your soap operas from the 90s.
No, I don't.
It was Days of Our Lives. But she had to change all the names. And so into this, so she's in this Shakespeare Festival, but she doesn't really know anyone. And this boy starts riding by on a bicycle in a crazy costume. And she finally meets him, and he's like, I go to the, you know, you can go work at the festival and hand out programs for money. And so she decides to go with him, and he's like, oh, and by the way, secretly, I'm putting these going to put these flyers in the programs, giving a secret tour of this actress who became really famous from the Shakespeare Festival and died mysteriously in a hotel room. And so so she says, okay. And it obviously takes place a while ago, so there's no cell phones and there's no computers and things like that. It's very nostalgic, but it's just a beautiful book. Aww. And the thing is that I know kids – I'm reading a lot of kids' books, and there's so much talk about – kids are dealing with grieving just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And authors are really writing about it. And so there's this beautiful, wistful nostalgia through the book. It's beautifully written. It's so funny. Mm. And I just think, oh, I would love to find a bunch of kids that age to give it to, but oh my God, no. I'm going to give it to a bunch of adults too, because it's that kind of book.
Yes.
And what was really interesting to me, we haven't really talked about it yet, but Jane Hamilton's new book, The
Excellent Lombards.
Excellent Lombards, is actually a girl who's only a bit older than that and is living on an apple orchard. This is the long-awaited apple orchard novel that everyone's been wanting, 7 years in the making.
Goodness.
About this, they're on this orchard and they're dealing with changes, and people are leaving her life, and people don't know what's going to happen to the orchard, and the development is creeping in. And in a lot of ways, they're dealing with some similar feelings. The one is definitely an adult book and one is a kid's book. And to read them together, I thought about, like, what are the subtle differences? Why was one, you know, this is definitely, Jane Hamilton's book's definitely one that I would give to a high school student, you know, because it's, and that book, the book that was really for 10 and up, I'd probably also give to a high school student. So it was just really interesting to read it. And so I think that everybody's going to want to read the Jane Hamilton, but I also could say, as I've said in the past on some of her books, not her last one, Laura Ryder's Masterpiece, it's definitely great for a teenager as well.
Good. Oh, so. Good. I love that. Well, you just talk us in. You just talking into all of these books. Let's go to some phone calls. Joe in Eau Claire. Our number is 800-486-8655. Hi, Joe.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
A friend of mine told me about a book, and I just got done reading it. It's called All Things Strange and Wonderful. The author's from Western Wisconsin, grew up there, did his vet school at U of M and University of Minnesota, and it's about his 2 years after vet school. He went in the Peace Corps in Malawi, Africa, and it's 2 years over there, and it's just a really good read and kind of one of those books where you start it and you just can't wait to go through it. So,
And who's the author, Joe?
Dr. Reb.
Dr. Reb.
And he's definitely playing off the old James Harriet series.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Right? Because we all things.
Right.
Wise and Wonderful. All
yeah.
Things also.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
Very good book. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Thanks for the recommendation, Joe. Our number 800-486-8655. We do also want to pay tribute to Carl Schmidt. I love the fact that I work for a network where we do a chapter a day from 12 to 12:30 every day. I just think it's wonderful and it's gone on forever. He's currently reading Driftless and he was recording up until right before he died at the age of 93. I haven't read Driftless yet, but I'm trying to listen to him. He's a marvelous reader and started in 1941 at the station. It's just incredible.
Oh, what a legacy.
Yeah, isn't it? Was in the Pacific in World War II with Armed Forces Radio and quite a career. And a beautiful reader, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you, Carl, for being a beautiful reader and for your long life and working so long as well. Coming up this weekend, I wanted to make sure, because independent bookstores need to get a pat on the back and encouragement, if you need any, to go to an independent bookstore. Daniels is one of them, and there is an independent bookstore day, which is coming up this weekend, Daniel, right?
It's this Saturday, and there's a bunch of bookstores in Wisconsin participating. In addition to us and Books & Company, Room of One's Own in Madison, Arcadia in Spring Green, Chapter 2 in Hudson, Northwind Book & Fiber in Spooner, The Velveteen Rabbit in Fort Atkinson, Tribeca Galley Cafe in Watertown, and a whole bunch of the book worlds, though I don't think all of them, but Baraboo, Manitowoc, Mequon, Minocqua, Sheboygan, Stevens Point, West Bend and Wisconsin Rapids, and yes, that was in alphabetical order. I also thought there are a few. I was thinking, okay, if you're on the border, because the Illinois and Minnesota definitely, there you have readers, fans in those states as well. And I think you have to go. I think the closest one south is the Book Bin in Illinois, and I think there's one in Evanston, Bookends and Beginnings. The real gold mine is in the Twin Cities, so if you're not too far from there, I believe there are 9,
ooh,
depending on how you figure Metro Twin Cities, 9 or 11 bookstores participating, which is one of the reasons why that metro area always shows up so high on the literacy programs. I mean, they just have a lot of bookstores. And some famous bookstore proprietors too, as you know, Common Good, Garrison Keillor, and Louise Erdrich has Birch Bark, and Louise Erdrich's is one of the new exciting books for spring.
Yeah,
actually,
she's on your list.
She
What's
is on
book?
The list. It's called La Rose, and it's actually the third book in a very loose trilogy. But much like The Roundhouse, her last book, which won amazing awards and was by far our best-selling book that she'd had in many, many, many years. It is a book about justice. Someone kills in a hunting accident a neighbor child and the repercussions that follow of that. One of my booksellers really loved it, Caroline, and you know, she glowed about how excited she was. I checked to see how close Erdrich was coming to Milwaukee. I know Minneapolis isn't that far away, but she's in St. Paul at the Fitzgerald Theater, which is famous for where Garrison Keillor recorded. And I think she's going to be in Chicago, but nothing in Wisconsin. But still, whatever, you get to buy the book. You get to love the book. We read The Roundhouse for our book club, and it went over really well.
Wonderful author.
So,
Jane is next in Oconto. Hi, Jane.
Hi. You were talking about history books. Have you read The Churchills in Love and in War? I think it's Mary Lovell or Lovett.
I'm going to leave that for you, Kathleen. Have you read The Churchills?
I have not read it. Mary Lovell. No, I have not
Lovell.
Read it.
It's really well done. If you liked watching Downton Abbey, you'd love this book.
Very cool.
All right. And a lot of people liked watching Downton Abbey.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
She doesn't write it like Church's history at all.
Mm-hmm.
Storytelling. It's, strong storyteller, I'm assuming.
Strong storyteller, lots of the connections and the backstories and how the family life and the whole business of American dollar brides and how they managed it. It's just a fascinating book.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Thank you, Jean, very much.
Thank you.
Good suggestion.
Bye-bye.
If you want to give us a suggestion or have a question for Daniel, our number is 800-486-8655. I was interested in your pop culture plus philosophy, which I love the description. It makes me want to read both of these. Old Records Never Die, One Man's Quest for His Vinyl and His Past, which sounds intriguing. And but what if we're wrong thinking about the present as if it were the past?
Well, and they're very – I would say it was definitely Chuck Klosterman who is more of the – you know, weaves philosophy into pop culture. He was originally – most of his earlier books were really straight music criticism. And but I've read now his last two nonfiction books. The last one was called I Think I Wear the Black Hat. And he definitely – he has this wonderful balance of high and low. So in this particular case, when he's talking about – assumptions that we make about the future based on the present. He has a chapter on science. So he has Brian Greene facing off against Neil deGrasse Tyson because one of them says, and I'll leave it for somebody else to tell you which one it is. One of them says, you know, based on what we know about changes in scientific theory, one of them says there's a good chance that we're wrong about everything, that there's going to be some major breakthrough that shows that we don't know what we're talking about. And the other person says, you know what? That's not true. We basically know what's going on now.
Huh.
And he looks at this in terms of television, like what will we consider a good television program 100 years from now? Who will be the author that defines the 21st century or the late 20th century? And, you know, will it be someone like Philip Roth, who is well-known and well-regarded and, you know, has many prizes? Or is it somebody like Kafka, who wasn't even published in his time, you know? And is it somebody working in the dark net or something like that? I thought it was a really fascinating book. It comes out on June 7th.
Okay.
I was just talking to a friend who was very excited about anything Chuck Klosterman does. And then All Records Never Die is definitely more of a memoir. It's a but I feel like there's an interesting philosophical issue in it about material possessions and memory, and so a lot of people and technology. So I was struck. I recently saw the episode of Portlandia, which is on some cable show, where someone who's freaking out about dying decides to find all his photographs, and they're now on like 25 different electronic devices that he can't read anymore. And so one of the things about music is a whole bunch of people had these vinyl collections that they dumped. They moved on to, say, cassette. They moved on to CD.
Yes.
They
yes.
moved on to downloading. They're on the, you know, their music is on different downloaded devices. And now, lo and behold, vinyl's popular again. And everybody's got a turntable. And so this is about a guy who tries to replace his vinyl collection. Though he doesn't just want to replace the vinyl. He wants the exact same copies, and he can tell them by little marks, little notes he wrote, little stickers, and mostly, more than anything else, and it's so funny when you talk to people about this, they all freak out about it, the scratches.
Oh, yes.
He knows exactly where the scratches were. My bookseller, I love the book. I passed it to Conrad. He loved the book. And we started talking, and he told me about this the scratch on his Led Zeppelin album. The song is "Your Time Is Gonna Come." And there's an organ prelude, and they had a huge scratch in the middle of the introduction. And if you stole my copy, I could play it and get it back. So. So I had little weird, like I'd lend to people and I'd put these little weird stickers on things and some I never got back.
No.
I'm a bit of a pack rat, so I probably have more of my old vinyl, but I actually don't.
You play
I
it?
Don't cry about it, no.
No, you don't.
I look at it, you know, yeah. Look at it and go, ah.
Yeah.
But I have, you know, you can have a whole, my brain, if you ever do a show on brain and the chemicals changes about aging and music, I was a music obsessed person. I'm like, I would obsess
really?
Over like and not just like I had a big collection. I loved looking for stuff. I loved independents and I loved imports. I loved all kinds of music from like very, very, very poppy stuff to very a little edgier things. And I had some rap records. I had everything. And then my music like it went off in my system when I hit a certain age. And then I became a cantankerous old person. Doesn't understand music. Kids today. Kids today. Except I can listen to it nostalgically. But, you know, I don't absorb new things very well. And it's just, you know, you have to stop complaining about your older relatives because it's physical. It's not psychological. It's physical. So, I don't know what I was saying, but we're doing an event with him at Acme Records, which is a secondhand vinyl store June 23rd. I thought that was a pretty
–
I mean, I read the book and I thought, oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. And because I used to work with the owner's wife, actually. And plus, it's a great store in Bayview, and I think it's really iconic and interesting. And but of course, the only problem was I finished the book, and I'm like, it takes place in Chicago. We can come. And I read the book, and the last page is this, and then I moved to Philadelphia.
Daniel, that was a great story that went everywhere.
So
wow.
Fortunately, he's moving back, so he's
good. All right.
Sadly,
all right. And you're young. Don't worry. Go back to music. It's okay. It's okay. Paul is next. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was wondering, is there any authors of Westerns, like in the vein of Louis L'Amour or Ralph Compton? I haven't been able to find anybody that matches the old classics.
You know, it is one of those genres that has not really kept up. I mean, every so often a publisher will try to kind of launch. For one thing, all genre is having a little bit of trouble. A lot of the business has moved to the internet. I suspect that there's somebody doing downloads of very, very inexpensive ebooks that you might be able to find if you start going, if you like to do it or make some relative search for you. I mean, every so often, you know, people say, oh, you should read Cormac McCarthy, but I understand that's not quite the same thing, though they are Westerns. Every so often, somebody sort of does a really interesting hybrid. So I really loved a book called The Sisters Brothers that came out a number of years ago that I didn't read the original book, but a lot of people compared to True Grit. Hmm. So it's not – I know it's not Louis L'Amour, but it's but it's a good Western, and it's funny, and it's probably got just enough violence for you.
Well, I mean, okay.
You need a little bit. It's the West.
Right.
But it's
right.
got – but mean, it's through the – it is definitely through the veil of today. So you might think it's too brainy, but maybe not, because I've had a lot of people read it, of all different kinds of people, and it's funny. It's dark. It's a little sociopathic. So try Sisters Brothers.
All right, Paul.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks very much for your call. Catherine in Madison. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I love your show when you talk about books. I used to work in a bookstore years ago.
Yay!
And I have a number of friends who are authors, and one of them is a guy named Gary Barwin, who is a Canadian author. He lives in Hamilton, Ontario, and has just published a new book called Yiddish for Pirates.
Woo!
Yeah, he's quite a character. Lots of wordplay. He's fantastic. He's mostly written a lot of poetry, but it looks like a really fun book. I haven't read it yet. It's just come out, but I thought I would put a plug in for his book.
You know him?
Well, the big question, no. But the big question is always what I have with Canadian writers is the book have American distribution or is it only being distributed in Canada?
That I don't know. I think it's being published by Random House Canada.
Right. It's a very tricky thing because Random House Canada is particularly tricky because they actually do warehouse their books in the United States. I think they're the only Canadian American and the books ship out of there. I think more and more publishers are doing this. I think Harper might have just gone to that program as well, especially when they bought Harlequin, the Canadian publisher. But it doesn't mean they always have the rights to do it. So the publisher, because a lot of times they're trying to sell American rights to another publisher, either at Penguin Random House, the big corporation, either by having one of the American divisions take it on, or sometimes the author can sign off rights to have it come through the Penguin Random House Canadian distribution arm. I think like that Free Days with George book, actually.
Oh.
But this has led to many complications. For example, like Shauna Baldwin, who lives here, who her last few novels have only been published by Knopf Canada.
Oh.
Knopf is an imprint of Penguin Random House. And it was very difficult for people to get the books to sell here because they had not sold American rights. And they finally signed a deal so that we could easily import them. There was a backdoor method. If we hosted an event, there was a way we could get the books. But there is still a trade border, let me just say.
Interesting. I didn't know about that. Catherine?
Yes?
No. What do you think?
Do you care to comment on this?
I'm looking forward to reading it. I mean, it looks very interesting. It's narrated by a parrot. I was just looking online. It looks like it's available from Amazon, so I don't know if that means that it's possible to get in the United States. But I just thought I'd put a plug in for his book because he's just a fantastic writer. Very, very he's enamored of language. Very Jabberwocky. So
thank you. Thanks, Catherine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Always good to hear about somebody new. Laura in Racine. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Laura.
It's so nice to talk to you.
You as well, Laura.
Well, listen, I'm calling because I love to become immersed in a novel. And for example, I just read the series My Brilliant Friend, and I just got into it. Another favorite is A Suitable Boy. What do you recommend that I need for me to get into it and really become immersed? Fiction.
Oh, interesting. So I have actually read. Well, I didn't read the whole quartet of the Lena Fronte. I read the first book, but most people
I read them all.
Yeah, no, it's. I actually have a mathematical formula about what percentage of people go on. I don't think anybody stops at two or three. You either read the first book or you read everything. And in our book club, it was about when we did the. We discussed the first book, and I think about a quarter of the group had gone through all four. Well, actually, the fourth one wasn't out yet. So they did three, and then the fourth. And I also read A Suitable Boy, and I know I'm sure you know the story. Wonderful book. And you know he had signed a contract for A Suitable Girl, a sequel.
Really?
Sequel, and they broke the contract. They ended the contract. He couldn't. He didn't get it done. And we don't know if that means that somewhere there's 2,500 manuscripts. Pages.
What a shame. I love that book.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't, sometimes people, I'm not always a huge fan of sequels, and I love The Women of Brewster Place. I did not love The Men of Brewster Place. And and they're the book and sometimes, like with the Ferrantes, they really—it almost feels like one book. I mean, because she drops, at the last part of the first book, she drops a bombshell on you. And so many people are doing these sort of companion novels where you can, if you like Marilyn Robinson, you can read four books set in the same place from different perspectives of the family. Or if you like Old Filth, you can read a book from the best friend and you can read a book from the wife. If you're looking for a big I'm trying to think. I mean, I did really love a book that came out this spring called Tuesday Nights in 1980. It's not 1,000 pages. It's a first novel by Molly Prentice. It got a wonderful review in the New York Times. I read it a long time ago because my friend Wendy at Simon & Schuster sat me down to lunch and said, here's a book that you have to read. And she knows me well enough that she doesn't force everything on me. It's set in the art world of the late 70s, early 80s. And it's from the perspective of an artist A critic and a muse. And the artist is has escaped from Argentina. The dirty war has just started.
Oh, wow. I spent 16 years in Uruguay. So.
Oh my gosh. Here we go.
And his sister is missing. And the critic has synesthesia, which is the complication where your senses get mixed up in your brain. And the muse is a naif, as these things tend to be, from Idaho. And it's a love triangle. It's very much about fame and art and what happens, like the difference between creating something not knowing you're going to be successful and the creating things thinking you're going to be successful. Mm. I'm interested. I was noticing I've been very interested in art world. I'm not an artist, though I did a wonderful portrait of Wilma Flintstone in junior high school that I still think about to this day. It was ahead of its time. And
you are informed today.
But there's a book that came out called The Contemporaries that I really liked by Roger White that kind of followed the art world. And I just really thought that she got it. I really liked another book called The Flamethrowers that was very, very popular book, but it was very masculine and edgy and kind of tough. And this book has a little more gentleness about it. It just got mentioned another – so it was in Review in the Times, and then it got mentioned in a nice kind of roundup about art. So
good. There you go. Thank you, Laura, for calling.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
I really appreciate
Thanks.
It. Thanks. It's a joy to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to Todd in Madison next. Hi, Todd.
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to put a plug in for I'm a big fan of history books, and one of the best I've ever read is called Son of the Morning Star. It's an older book. It's about Custer. But the thing that's so fascinating about the book, it's not just about Custer. It's about the times that he lives in, and it's fascinating about history of the cavalry and just the day-to-day lives of the people that were in the regiment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an excellent book, and I'm not even sure, though, if it's still in publication. It's an older book.
It's definitely in publication. Evan Connell, he passed away a few years ago.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure I got that right. He also wrote, interestingly enough, he wrote, we were talking about the books from different perspectives of the same relationship. He wrote probably the seminal one, Mr. Bridge and Mrs. Bridge, and then Mr. Bridge that became the Paul Newman. Two companion novels from the husband and wife's perspective. But this is his history book. He wrote a number of other nonfiction books. None of them had the same impact, but oh my gosh, there was a time in the bookstore we would just like, we need another pile of Son of the Morning Star. It was one of
very
those major
popular
books.
One of the best books, one of the best history books I've read, one of the most readable history books I've ever read.
Very cool.
Thanks, Todd.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. Email wanting to thank you, Daniel, for mentioning the other independent bookstores. This person appreciates the fact that you are so welcoming to all of them in a spirit of camaraderie.
Well, we gotta help each other, right? You throw a lot of love out and I don't know what happens, but you hope for the best.
You hope it comes right back, right? That's what you hope. What have we missed? Baseball. It's baseball season. What's the baseball book?
Oh, yes. Well, there was a wonderful write-up actually in the Journal Sentinel from Chris Warren and a few weeks ago, but and people should look at that. There were really interesting books. But the one I mentioned was the one that I put on is the one that I've been playing with The Happy Felsch book for the Black Sox scandal. And the reason it's called Happy Felsch Banished Black Sox Center Fielder by Thomas Rathkamp. We had actually an event scheduled for him in April. And then it's a specialized publisher. And they said, oh, we're not going to be ready. So I'm hoping that we host something with again. He lives in Cedarburg. And he's part of Sabre, like the folks who do the stats, like that, Bill James was
really?
Part of. And,
oh,
Nate Silver from 538.
Sure.
I mean, stat people are very important.
Yes,
and,
they are. They are growing influence in baseball.
So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And that was that's the baseball book. There's not, obviously not a major Brewer book. There's actually there is a big Brewers book that we've been selling really well, but I forgot the name. Tales from the Locker Room kind of thing.
Yeah.
That people have been buying very well. It's been on. We look at the Milwaukee area, which goes – it's probably six counties of their top 100 every week. And it's been on every week. The publisher does takes basically a good concept and puts it in different markets. That's kind of a so specialized regional books.
And be sure and celebrate Independent Bookstore Day Saturday. You'll be raring to go.
Yeah, we have we have the giveaways at 10, and then we have at 11.
Giveaways, huh?
Well, we have some giveaways like the beach ball, the duck. I believe Scotty was throwing that around. We've got these
Signs,
honk and read. But we also have – but the main thing is the idea is that we want people to come in and buy stuff.
Yeah,
so
of course.
There's stuff for sale. There's a concert at 11 with Fox and Branch. There's book trivia contest at 2, and then we have a ticketed event with Sally Mann at 7.
Excellent. So. Daniel, thank you so much. You were in really good form today. I want to tell you that again. Daniel Golden, wonderful owner of Boswell Books on Downer Avenue right here in Milwaukee. And the book list, we should tell you, it's a really good one. It's the book list for spring, and it will be on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, so you can have lots of reading for the months ahead. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the program, and to Scotty Myers for Chris Molina, too, for producing the program and for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. And thank you, everybody, for listening.